You have to do the same, okay.
We're ready to move back. Tony, if you could, do we need a point of order, just go straight into it?
Just declare that we have the same form, President.
Okay, we currently have the same form as when we first opened our meeting, and now we're going into our committee report, Board of Trustees business.
Yes, item 4A is the Finance Audit Facilities Planning Committee meeting report. Mr. Coronado?
Yes, Mr. President, we had a meeting this past week. The big part of the committee items was the discussion of the PK through 8 school. There were presentations by the CMR and our architect with respect to the plans. I believe are now 100% drawn. They presented us a proposed timeline on the construction of the PK through 8 school. They also asked us if the board would desire to expedite some of the groundwork. They gave us a timeline in green, italicized, or a option that we have if the board would so require to expedite the groundwork so that we might be able to start. We were basically advised that there was a possibility that we might be able to start sometime in January, the year of completion, as opposed to either May or June of that year, with the intentions of turning the school over to the principal in May or June, but to start in August. But they did present an option for us to be able to try and see if we wanted to start in January. I think the feeling of the committee is that we wanted them to go ahead and we would recommend to the board that we proceed on an expedited timeline for the groundwork. But that would be up to the board to make that decision. And they also presented a timeline with respect to the 100% completion of all the documents for the construction documents. Everybody got, I believe, received a copy of those. And give me 1 second. If you'll notice on the of the minutes of the committee, there were other presentations with respect to the soils testing. Apparently, that is ongoing. Apparently, some of the surveys has already been. They've been already sent out to the field. Mm-hmm. Is that correct, Ms. Burton?
Yes.
As I mentioned, the proposed chart for the timelines that were given to us. There was also a timeline of chart presented to us by VMAC, and we want to thank them for doing that with respect to the ongoing construction in the county. And I was frankly surprised with how much, I knew there was a lot going on, but I was frankly surprised at how much more I had not thought about. Of construction that's ongoing or pretty shortly ongoing in the county. And we did have a update on the LEED certification. With respect, we were provided with the potential points on a chart of where we might stand in terms of the completion of the school and that they anticipate that we could end up getting the school, the PK through 8 school, certified as LEED Silver. There were some alternates with respect to points that we might lose and points that we might gain, and one of those that was discussed was actually some of the parking that even after cutting some of the parking, we're still over to be able to get some of the points on the LEED certification for parking. However, I think the committee felt that reducing any more parking space would just not be something that would be an option, and so obviously that's something that the board would need to make a decision on, but the plans have been presented. Everybody has a copy of them. The interior, I think we even were presented with some of the color possibilities, but I think those are going to actually be even updated and presented later on by our architects and the construction managers. One thing that we did discuss that we recommended to the board is with respect to the school colors, the policy on naming or selecting school colors for the PK through 8. The committee is recommending to the board that we currently suspend that particular policy for this PK through 8 school because of the fact that selection of those colors might benefit in terms of the construction materials, the design, both interior and exterior of the school, in terms of color coordination with the school colors, that, and to allow the principal to, along with the students to select that, wouldn't be enough time because it's during the construction. We don't anticipate probably hiring the principal until sometime in 2015. And so, 15 minutes? August. So probably sometime 6 months before that would be when we'll probably hire the principal. And that's just, so the committee felt that we would recommend to the board to suspend the policy with respect to that as well as the mascot, and then consider reworking our policy with respect to those issues. District-wide bond projects. Jennifer provided an update, and it was great to see that we've got a lot of the stuff finally rolling. I wish, we'd really continue to roll, but, as everybody well knows, our construction manager that we hired is no longer with us, and so we're going to have to go back to the drawing board on that, and it's something that we probably ought to pay attention to really quick. I think we were at the point that we were trying to get our stride here, and then the person we had hired to do that finally, after so much time and deliberation on those issues, and that we selected, is no longer here. And so I think that's something that that we need to probably pay attention to quickly. I did put on an agenda item with the committee with respect to district-wide security services, and I think it's something that we discussed with administration that I just wanted to make sure that that there was an ongoing plan of attack with respect to a proposed new security. I know administration has also been working on some of the issues with respect to with technology and camera system. We still have some money available from the 2006 bond project, $200,000. And administration is recommending that that might be well put to use to be able to get our plan with respect to security at all our campuses started and what we need to do. We did go over the financial part of the committee with respect to the district financials. Everybody has copies of them if anybody has any questions.
Okay.
We were presented with items with respect to, for Mr. Gatlin that are on today's agenda, and the committee is recommending all those items that the board approve those items. And then we had a presentation from internal audit with respect to the hotline update. I don't think there was much in regards to that, which is good to hear. And the compliance calendar, some of the items, everybody's got a copy of the compliance calendar. Some of those items that have been pending are now been complete and have been checked off by our internal audit department.
Mm-hmm.
And we did postpone the item with respect to discussion of policies and procedures related to curriculum to the audit. Since that was discussed at the prior meeting by the board and was ongoing. If anybody has any questions.
Does anybody have any questions regarding Mr. Cornell's
regarding properly that the committee list joined to ask to instead have middle bleachers?
Oh, that's right. We did one of the recommendations that the committee made to to our architects is the seating at the Veterans Memorial Stadium at the PK through 8 school. There was a recommendation in the plans that they be completely metal bleachers. The committee felt that it would be appropriate to have an alternate where we would do the seating at concrete base with aluminum seating, as is in high school.
So we'll have an alternate.
So we'll have an alternate for mm-hmm. that, and the committee recommended that to the board.
For the foundation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But even if we couldn't afford to put the concrete in, we'd at least prepare the ground and
right.
the ground for
exactly. Okay.
So that we could do that.
We're also recommending the high school letter jackets, is that correct?
That's right. We had another presentation by Coach with respect, Coach Brooks, with respect to the jackets. The committee felt that Coach Brooks presented an issue that a lot of the students are purchasing specialized jackets on their own and not of the color that had been the traditional color of the Letterman's jackets. And so Coach Brooks' recommendation was presented some recommendations to the board whether we either subsidize half of the jacket and let everybody pick or not, or just subsidize all the jacket but make it a standardized color. And if the individual students wanted to go off from that, they'd have to pay for them their own. And the committee did recommend that we'd recommend to the board to pay for completely 100% of any Letterman's jacket to any student who wishes to choose the traditional orange colored jacket. If they want to go off and do a specialized type jacket or change the colors, the scheme around in the jacket, that would be paid completely on their own.
And this is for sports only?
No, it's
for
no.
all. Every sports.
Everything. Drama, everything. Like whatever they letter in if you were.
Okay. And this is for high school only?
For secondary, yeah.
Secondary.
Lettermans are secondary. I mean high school or early college.
Because they're starting to get blue right. centers or blue and white and it's right. all over the place, but I don't
and
think you can.
Cheerleaders even something yeah. more extravagant.
That's true.
So, okay. Does anybody else have any other questions? Hearing none, can we go to the next agenda
item? Item 4B is Policy, Instruction, Personnel, Student Services Committee Report. Mrs. Gonzalez.
We also had a Instruction Personnel Policy Student Services Committee meeting on January 14th. And the committee recommended the executive director of school and student resources for the full board for approval. Did we also update 95 was presented mm-hmm. to us? And the only item that was not approved with the update was EIE local policy.
Right.
It's going to be considered later on.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair,
yes, sir.
Did they actually put it on the consent agenda? Or
I'll check.
EIE local?
And that's EIE one that we don't want to address, so actually.
Is it there in the policy? Mm-hmm.
It's on the consent agenda.
So we need to take that out.
Part of so long
you didn't tell me to remove that.
Only.
Okay.
Part of that.
Or just pull it out.
Yeah.
Only part of that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We also, exactly, we also recommended the 2013-2014 school calendar for approval.
Mm-hmm.
And the committee agreed and recommended it to the school board also. And the curriculum evaluation calendar was also presented with a 2-year cycle of the programs. And it was also for information purposes only. The purchase of Navians mm-hmm. was presented because it's more than $10,000.
Right.
And it's going tonight for the full board. The committee agreed and is recommending it. And that's it.
Madam Chair, I did have a question.
Yes, sir.
On the formulation, the curriculum instruction evaluation as part of this the curriculum about the equation calendar. When looking at the information that we did get back, it was some of the concerns I had, of course, it's just type of survey type, and I would like more type of handwritten, especially from the directors or individuals that are involved. I want to do some type of exhibit, sort of detailing what are the pros and cons, you know, the areas of improvement, how well does it work, not just does it work well. And sort of the survey was more where it's sort of, is this optimal, is it, you know, is it not, is it close to, you know, or it's not good. More type of robust type of survey, not just a yes or no, so that way we could evaluate where it actually is. And for those individuals, maybe the teachers, you could put a pro and con, where, you know, there's sometimes it's not always, there's a lot of pros or sometimes there's cons, and so we can see what those cons are so we could actually look at what's the best way to address those. And sort of an area of improvement, how can we best utilize this program? But some type of exhibit where it's more, you have to type in. So if that's okay with the chair and the board, just so that way we have a more robust evaluation, especially the director that are, so if it has to go with, let's say special ed, and that director has to provide that information and those individuals under them, but something similar but not as robust as that director, and so on and so forth.
So since this is reported annually, do you want to address this at a future committee meeting, or?
Yeah, I would like to address the exhibit, the more robust, so that way the next one, or even on this one too, look at, you know, sort of where it's not a yes or no, and then maybe usage, that type of stuff.
Okay. So in the next committee meeting, next curriculum committee.
And Ms. Soros has a question.
Ms. Gonzalez, I was really, really happy to hear Ms. Fierro at your committee meeting give this first update on our curriculum.
Thank you.
But according to the policy, legal and local, there is a specific outline of exactly what she's to report on. I mean, word by word, bit by bit, it's not like you've got to be creative. I would like to see her report focus on our policy, legal and local, instead of be so broad. Thank you.
The other thing that I've seen is, was brought up, and actually it was taken down too. If we have any information or any documents related to, or in reference to Dr. Murphy, if we could have those deleted or just try to clean up and make sure we clean up some of our documents. Okay. Is there any other questions for Letty at this point? Ms. Gonzalez? If not, then I'll take us to the next agenda item.
Item 4C is consider approval of request for use of school facilities from Vinton Congregation of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Do I have any discussion or motion to approve?
I move to approve.
Okay, I have a motion and I have a second. If there's no discussion, anybody have any questions? No? Not? Can we pull the board?
Mr. Coronado? Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
And now I'll take us to the next agenda item.
Discussion and possible action regarding presentation in the legislative session. Mr. Rodriguez?
One of the questions I had, and we had some discussion on it, well, not discussion, but I mentioned it at one of the meetings, is we really don't have anybody that represents us in our interest at the legislative level, whether it's a federal or state. And now that the state legislators in session, I think, you know, I have discussions with people from El Paso. They have an individual. I believe Socorro has an individual. And so I wanted to have an agenda item so that way we could discuss if we as a district wanted to look at that option so that way we could, one, be better informed, and two, hopefully have a better hand or, you know, individuals. I know some of the state legislators within, let's say, certain educational areas to make sure of whether our agenda with the printer and technology is one that we could look at, or sort of like the item that we have. And so I wanted to see if you all wanted to look at that. We can go out, correct me if I'm wrong, for an RFP, and then decide if we want to go that route or not. But I wanted to have an agenda item so that way we could have that discussion as a board. So, yes.
Mr. Rodriguez, do you have any guess what it costs to have a quality person?
I don't have that. And so, I mean, it's something new, something that I think we need to look at, but if the board feels we're not.
I think it's wonderful. I think it's I really do. I think it's possibly money well spent.
We could look at it, and then if not, we could say, you know what, we'll wait till the next year, but at least we get some feedback to see what it is. Maybe we could ask them to look at it, and at the same time prepare some type of document to order it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
what they pick. Mm-hmm. And we're little, so maybe we can use
something smaller. I think the best approach is, of course, to offer some type of RFP or RFP, so that way.
I think that it's such a good idea. I mean, Ms. Matthews just told me there's a big city planning thing next week that we are not going to be able to have a seat at because we don't have anybody to send. This person would also be.
You could, I mean, you know, then we would have to look at something more local because knows not have state issues.
But there's, I could see where it could, you know, help us in city, state, and federal, really.
And so it's, would that.
Yeah, that's it.
Mr. Rose, Mr. Cornell?
You know, I really want to see what the cost is going to be, but another alternative we might have is we might be able to pair up with other school districts like Clint, somebody that's close to us in terms of not just of size but of growth and has the same issues here locally, that we might be able to get somebody that can represent us on the same fronts and be able to split the cost in terms of those issues. I don't know.
So I guess if we could look at it and then prepare, do we need a motion? Should we prepare something? Or
ask Ms. Brigham and her administration to just come back
with some information.
Okay, the sooner the better, since the state legislator just went in session on the 14th or 15th.
Okay. I'll get with you also.
Do we would need to do an RFP or an RFQ, or we just...
I don't know. It depends on the cost of without enough information to start to say.
Then,
because if you go ahead and approve for looking into it, you can have a...
Or, well, there's just a directive, right? That's okay. Is it, everybody okay with that? Yeah, to look into it?
Yeah. I'm fine, Mr. Chair.
Okay. And so if there's no other questions and no questions regarding this item, no? Can we move to the next item?
Item 5 is open forum, and we do not have anyone signed up to speak this evening. Yes. Item 6
is... We did have a good presentation. It was
excellent.
We had a lot of new members. That was great.
Excellent.
Item 6 is the consent agenda, and administration recommends approval as presented, with the exception of item A3, which are the board meeting minutes of December 18th. They were not put into your board book. I apologize. And also under item F, the EIE policy under update 95.
I move to approve the consent agenda as read, with the exception of A3, the December 18th, 2012 regular minute meetings. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Meeting minutes. And with the exception under F, test the update 95 EIE local.
I'll second that. I'd like to make a comment.
Mm-hmm.
On page 14, I would just like to compliment Anfield Middle School for their attendance and Northwest Early College High School. 96.7 y'all. I mean, during this time of the year, it's pretty.
It's excellent.
Awesome.
I it's
mean,
hard to.
Some of the
it's hard to reach.
Are they handing out surgical masks?
Yes.
Is that what it was?
I'll check. I will, I'll make sure of that tomorrow morning.
There's no other discussion on the consent agenda. I'd like to pull the board.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Item 7A is discussion and possible action regarding contract and or contract negotiations with PROACT Search regarding superintendent search. Mr. Blanco.
Thank you, President Rodriguez, members of the board. Mr. Rodriguez and I had a telephone conference with representatives of PROACT at the end of the week, last week, if I recall correctly. We went over each of the items that were discussed at the last board meeting on the 15th. Regarding the costs, and I'll get to that in a second. The guarantee was cleared up. We also had a discussion regarding the use of technology and other information gathering techniques, which they're very, very open to. And more specifically, also Mr. Cornell's concern, the request for information from CISD and the fact that the applicant lists and information regarding applicants, including biographical information, who they have screened in or screened out, is all available to the district, and they agreed to write that into the contract. We have a draft, the last draft, which they have agreed to in the contract. They reduced their quoted fee from the response. The original quote was $20,000, and they reduced it to $18,500. All the other charges remain the same, and the rest of the RFP response will be identical to the contract. We have drafted into the contract the specific guarantee provision, and it's what Ms. Searles, you had commented on and asked for, that if during the two-year period following placement of the superintendent hired under the agreement with PROACT separates from employment for any reason whatsoever, the firm PROACT will conduct a new search for the client with no fee charge. They will require reimbursement of expenses. We will not charge another search fee. We also wrote into the contract that the client shall have the right to request and review all applicant lists, data, biographical information, and reports upon your request. So whenever you ask for it, they did tell us that they will make weekly and certainly monthly updates depending on the volume of information, and the number of applicants that they have received, and keep the board and whatever committees you assign to it informed of the going and who's applying to the extent that you want to see them. They're open to doing that. The use of Skype and other electronic media, they're obviously open to doing that, but that's a good idea. And they actually told us that some of their districts that they're working with now are already doing that to help cut down the cost of travel for applicants. We've revised the agreement with the guarantee and the other provisions in there. I believe it meets all the requirements of the board set forth. I'll invite Mr. Rodriguez to comment if he has anything to say about it.
Kind of neat. If you don't ask, you're not going to get. And so we went from 20 to 18.5 when it comes to the contract with PROACT. We did have conversations of all those stuff that our legal counsel just addressed. And so if anybody has any questions, we could ask at this point. And so, Mr. Cornell.
Steve, I still want to know, how is it that we're going to be able to see firsthand which applications are coming in? I know that they're willing to send it to us, but I still didn't hear anything about.
There's a master applicant list that they keep a running total of, and as they receive an application, they'll advise us that an application has been received. They do want that to be kept confidential, obviously.
That's my issue, is how do we know?
Well, there is that's a good question. We discussed that with them. There is a certain level of trust required. There's Mr. Solomon commented on that. He tried to reassure Mr. Rodriguez and I that they've never had a client complain about information being withheld or felt like things were hidden from them. They promised to give an updated master list, and he also said, well, we might not give you a recommendation that takes 10 names. If you see somebody on the list with biographical information, do you think, why didn't you include that individual in your recommendation of interviews for 10? But they would certainly abide by your wishes and bring it through. It's your search. He was very direct in telling us that on the phone that this is not their search, this is your search. And the information that you receive belongs to you.
And we also discussed on possibly doing it correct. They're okay with that. The problem is confidentiality. And so I think what we have to really do is, you know, we have a bad taste in our mouth from our last search, and we have to, you know, respect the fact that, you know, we contacted people in Sequoia and not ask them, and, you know, we can do that, but I was, when I talked to him about that issue, I think it's better that we're confidential in regards to that type of information, and we just have to be, you know, they'll provide the list, and we could question, well, why not this one, why not that one? You know, they had 84 applicants, and I did talk to Michael about that, and they asked, well, why not these individuals, or why not? And so they'll explain it if the board prefers to look at it. You know, when we set up our committee, we'll screen those. But that would be more towards tomorrow, where we have a kickoff meeting, and we're able to ask them those questions. But the other issue in regards, and I don't know if you talked about it, was the fact that they don't recruit the people that they put in place. That's part of their policies.
Yeah, and I guess the just to follow up on that, the idea that somebody could be screened out and not shared with us, it's a real concern, but other than them representing that they don't do it, it's written in the contract. If they did, it would be a breach of the contract, and so they gave in on that. He also pointed out to us that in their search materials that the resumes and forms, everything, even an applicant that was screened out was unqualified. Whatever criteria the district sets for your superintendent, you must have this level of experience, this educational background, come from this demographic, whatever it is that you want. They might screen people out. They might get an applicant like me. I'm not qualified to be a superintendent, so they put me in the not qualified pile. You'll still have that information available. It'll just be the not qualified pile. If for some reason you want to see the resumes or the list, they say they'll make it available, but I can't, other than discussing with them, having a link directly to HR every time somebody applies and sending us an email, we can do that. Because they do say they will give us weekly updates.
Yeah, I mean, I still have that as a concern, Mr. Chair, because, and granted, they say that they're going to do it, but I mean, if they say they're going to do it, then why not have us directly link to the process when the application comes in? I don't want to see the application. I want to see the direct name of the person that it directly comes to us. They can get the application. I'm not concerned about that. If we're talking about confidentiality issues, but how do we know that they complied if they put on? How would we ever know?
What's their payment structure? Is there something that we could work into the contract for the payment structure to maybe hold them a little bit more accountable? I mean, and it still doesn't guarantee it, but at least they have a little bit more skin in the game, so to speak.
It's split into three equal installments. Upon execution of the contract, the first installment will become due. Upon delivery of their candidates that they recommend, the next installment becomes due, and the final installment is due upon successful hiring 30 days after that date. You pay the final installment. I can ask the question if they'll send
even a third-party verification company.
I don't know, even if we did that there would be a way to verify, because if you're asking them to tell us every time you get an application in, let us know. Well, what if they don't tell us? An application came in.
The other thing is, what if we have an issue where somebody doesn't want to go to the district website and wants to go to there? I mean, I know where you're coming from.
Well, then we don't need those people who don't want to even be considered to apply to the district. Then we don't need them. Well, that position. I'm applying for a job, but I don't want to tell you who I am. I don't get that part of it.
I mean, we asked and we could do that, but I mean,
is there an additional cost if you were to do it through our HR?
No, their concern is that if And just not a comment on HR, please understand that I have a concern. It's their concern that when information reaches an entity that they don't necessarily have some control over, that the information is leaked out. And as a result of that, people who might otherwise apply won't apply. If I've got a job in a district and I'm doing well, but I'm thinking maybe I might want to go somewhere else, maybe this is an opportunity for me, I'm not willing to put my relationship with my board, my superintendent, maybe somebody below the superintendent level, at risk if I communicate the fact that I'm considering leaving. I personally don't necessarily hold that opinion, but that's their opinion. And that's why they don't, they want to have at least that the applicants feel the safety that they're applying to a search firm, that the data is handled and shared with only the people that need to know. And I don't take it as a comment about Kenny Teal, because I don't think he knows Kenny Teal's HR department, but that's their concern.
I tend to agree. Most executive placement firms or search headhunting firms, they keep everything confidential because you do have a non-going job. So I can understand that, but I also see Mr. Coronado's concern.
And I guess
I was just going to ask, you know, is it standard procedure? Maybe that's how everybody does it. There's not an option. Is that possible, or?
It's standard for them. I can tell you that Mr. Solomon told me that that's their standard approach and the districts that they work with. I mean, he was not at all difficult to deal with or upset about it. He kind of walked us through his approach, and that's the way they do it. And, you know, I understand it. He said, "Why didn't the contract if we breach it?" And I get it. You know, you have both of those lawyers. How do you know? There's a little bit of trust, and he said, "Try to convey to the board that they will enjoy the working relationship with PROACT and everybody else had." He suggested, and I know Ms. Rodriguez had done it, speak to Socorro and see how they felt about the new superintendent and their search process. And it's my understanding that they were very happy with it. So other than reassurance, promises, and drafting into contracts, that's the process that they recommend.
Again, it's kind of difficult.
I'm not completely comfortable with it, but
you know,
our alternative would be to hire a consultant and not a search firm, and us do it ourselves. But I think that's going to take a little bit longer, and frankly, I think we need to get moving on this. So, I mean, as long as they're making those representations and we can ask for all the entire applications, I guess we're going to have to trust. Yeah.
And one of the things, you know, once we start the process and they start giving us those updates as board members, we have to make sure that we do that confidential. I mean, we had a previous leader that would go and call people, and then I've heard of several people having to leave the job because, you know, there was actually, I think it was this week, I was listening to the radio station and they talk about when they tell your employer, you know, you're looking for a job, because they might not at that point in time get rid of you, but they might find some type of replacement that's going to start looking at, you know, long term. And so that's where I see the confidentiality, and I think we have to trust the process. We've had several people that have done it in the past, and we just have to make sure we hold them accountable to verify along the process. But I don't see where, I mean, it's possible, but for them to hide highly qualified candidates from us, or try to.
You know, on the other side of that coin is, too, that they need to trust us. Each of us took an oath. We are trustees. Obviously, we're trustworthy. That when we go into executive session, which is where we would discuss names or any of this, that what goes in stays in it. We are under oath that we don't.
We're under oath that.
Yeah, and so I would think that, no, but we are, and he has an attorney-client privilege, which he then should have to keep it in too.
Yeah, I think
they
would
trust
that.
Us. Mm-hmm. Somewhat as well.
And they're going to be providing information to us on a weekly basis. You know, this is amount of applicants we have this week. This is the quality of applicants. This is the ones that, you know, all that. So when we discuss that tomorrow, we'll be able to ask what type of report we want, how do we want it, all that. So any other questions or no?
Mr. Rodriguez's last comment, if the board approves PROAC and the contract with the terms that we just outlined, they are prepared to come tomorrow for a kickoff meeting with the board. So there is a special board meeting that's been scheduled just in case you all approve this tonight. And they're ready to come down.
Did they give us a final price?
$18,500. Plus expenses? Yeah, the contract is $18,500. So, hearing none, no more discussion. Do I have a motion?
I so move, Mr. Chair.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the contract for PROAC search regarding our superintendent's search. It's the amount of $18,500. There's no other discussion. Tony, can we take the board? Do you need more water?
It's the water.
The wrong way.
The water.
Water was
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Okay. Item B, consider approval of playground proposal for Davenport Elementary School. Ms. Matthews?
Consistent with some of the other bond projects that we've been doing, we've been doing playgrounds throughout the district from both 2006 to 2011 bond funds. We recently completed multiple playground improvements at CES and a new playground at BCE. And along that note, NGEDS has received multiple playground shade structures. So to continue with those projects, and we're moving forward possibly tonight with a proposal from ExtraPlay for Deanna Davenport Elementary School. And we met with the principals to see which playground age group or location was their top priority. And so in the case of Deanna Davenport, we do have a small site plan there. And you can see they have an existing hexagonal shade structure, which will remain. And they will be demoing the rock wall that contains the sand, taking out the sand, this one here, and putting in a soft tile fall surface. And this has been pretty much the district standard for these bond projects that we've been doing. And so the color scheme is matching their other playgrounds. And do you guys have any questions?
I have just one question. And in regards to, are we using the same type of, the last time I believe you came in with two different companies.
Right.
Are we using the same from here on out or that
Yeah,
way?
Exactly. So all the playgrounds that have been done by ExtraPlay, and so it's been kind of good because it's kind of creating like a standard and so that we wouldn't have to switch midstream. So it's the same brand of equipment, it's the same type of fall surface, and they have very good customer service. and so both of the proposals tonight are from ExtraPlay.
Do we have any other questions? No? Not to make a motion?
I would like to move to approve the playground proposal for Deanna Davenport Elementary School as presented in the amount of $43,920.
I'll second that.
A motion is second. And
there
it's
78.
It's 78.
78,046.
So what we're doing now is when we propose a project, we propose the budget amendments that accompany it. So as you can see, we have the lighting upgrade, came budget amendment A, so leftover money, so that one's taken off.
Okay, so I have a motion and a second. Is there any other questions?
I have one question. You realize the lighting has to be dark sky lighting.
Oh, yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Item C, consider approval of playground proposal for Damian Elementary School. Ms. Matthews?
Yes.
And this is the same, right?
Yes, it's the exact same thing. We've met with the principal. One shade structure is remaining, and I mean, one small playground structure is relatively new. All new fall surface, new concrete slab, new playground, extra play itself.
Do I have any questions regarding this? No?
I would like to move to approve the playground proposal for Damian Elementary School in the amount of $70,349.05.
I'll second that.
I have a motion and a second. If there's no other discussion, Tony, can we pull the board?
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes, let them play.
Item D, consider approval of contractors for district-wide bond projects solicited via RFQ and CMR contracts. Mr. Gatlin, Ms. Matthews.
So before we start discussing the actual shortlist, I want to just talk a little bit about the process. So we're doing this two-step process, the first part, which is just the shortlist of the qualifications. We got an excellent response of 12 contractors. We held individual evaluation committees for each bundle. There's four bundles, one for each architect, and one of the bundles consists of the marquees, which we hope to tie into the contractor that's doing Kennedy Middle School, simply because it's the only marquee that needs to be coordinated with the general contractor because of the underground power and data. So the first cut is basically to pre-select based on qualifications your top five contractors for each bundle. It continues to be completely up in the air, you could say, because the project hasn't gone out for bid. You know, in fact, everyone is still drawing. So due on March 1st is everyone's 100% design development drawings due from each of the architects. And we've actually turned in their schematic designs for pricing to Mr. Venegas today for our budget, for our owner's project budget that we're developing for February and March. So the bidding process has not actually happened. That would be step two. So you're just selecting the ones that would continue on to the bidding, you could say. So that means we still have ample time to select subcontractors. We know that local is very important. We are all about local business, community opportunity, and so all of that pricing, plans, subcontractors, all of that, it's all part of phase two. I might also say that one of the things that this allows us to do is because we want to take full advantage of this summer. And because of our timeline, in order for things to line up to start, you know, July 1st, we would need to get some of these things in place. And a straight timeline would not allow us to take full advantage of the summertime like this would. I think we're going to be able to negotiate a really good price. Thanks to the fact that there's going to be A, five bidders, B, VMAC is working together with us and has been working very closely together with us, and C, you know, it's a CMR, so with so many eyes on the ball, I think that really we have a very good chance of coming to a very reasonable price.
Okay, and so my discussion, and I did talk to Ron, and I did talk to Annette, and I did talk to the chair, what I would like to do is actually set up another meeting where we could go in detail within this agenda item and have some type of presentation as well. The other issue that I did ask and we did have since the beginning was looking at all the contractors that do all the work. So we would need to see who submitted for all the work and rank those as well. And then we could set up a meeting in the near future to actually address that issue. So if that's okay with the board, then we could provide that direction to administration.
Okay. So the two directions would be to evaluate based only on contractors that checked all four boxes?
Correct. You already have the ones that checked the separate boxes, so we would have an additional one to have that ranking. So if the board wanted to decide whether to go in bundles or go in one, we have that option available. And so when we have that meeting, we'll have a list of, let's say, the top individuals that are named to do a presentation, so that way we could select on the qualifications of the construction manager at risk, and then we'll follow that process.
Okay.
What would change on this? Are we just looking for one position?
We're looking for one that, the one that submitted to all the projects. So
I'm confused. I thought the purpose of this was to separate them so we could give sort of precedence instead of having one to manage all these projects.
Well, we did give direction on the last time. Well, actually, we came out for the CMR was that the RFP would include, certain projects, sort of how we did the architects. We didn't put it in bundles, but we had where if you wanted to pick and choose certain projects, and you can, and then if you wanted to do the full list, then you can. So the direction that we gave on the RFP was to the RFP was to actually evaluate those that could do the different individual brick and mortar ones, and then those that could do it all, and then that way we can look at what's in the best range for them.
So instead of just four bundles, you'd have five bundles, and the fifth bundle would be everything.
Well, you would have one that does everything with small projects, and another is assigned, and then you could, or we could separate the bundles. But we'll have that presentation at a different board meeting where we could have those individuals come and we could look at the qualifications or the proposals to see which one.
Board President Rodriguez, members of the board, Ms. Brigham, the way this was written, we say we're going to award it by bundle. So in other words, we can't split.
We completely said it was by bundle. That's not the direction we gave administration.
That's the way we wrote the bid.
We have a policy that requires us to...
That's an administrative reg, and the direction that the administration gave the last, at a board meeting, and it was when we approved the RFP, was to look at the same way we did the architects.
Well, we could evaluate the bundle.
You know, there is a clause in here. It says the district is seeking to establish a long-term business relationship with the successful firms that can meet its requirements by providing some or all of the services for the newer projects. So we can split up some. If you want to take some of the smaller projects out of there, we can.
Okay. Yeah, in other words, it was meant that you could check this one or that one or all of them, and you could award A or B and C to one, or you could
Or A, B, C, and D.
Mm-hmm. So really what's missing here is a sheet that has all of the contractors who wanted all of them. That's really the sheet that's missing from here.
There's some people that can't bond all of it.
Of course. And really, I think that's what we're asking.
And so some people checked only one box, and some people checked every box.
How quickly can
Mr. Cornell?
Yeah, and that's exactly, we just need that information, decide who we're going to interview for those projects, and then...
Yeah.
You know, what boards, you know, when maybe we can have those at the next meeting, discuss that, get the information and how the board wishes to proceed in terms of interviewing, whether we want to even consider however many of the contractors submitted for the entire thing, whether we want to do that or not, or just, I mean, we can make a decision once we know who.
Yeah, but we need to have that on the table. So
I do have a list of the vendors that did bid on all.
But we need the ranking.
Seven out of the 12.
We need the ranking from the administration, how it's done here. Then we could say, okay, bring the top certain individuals to interview to the board. And then we would choose to make that selection then.
So one task is rank all the ones that check for all.
Correct. Okay. Do a ranking, yeah.
And then the second task is when I set up the interviews, you want the interviews for which contractors or for which
bundles? I mean, we could pick the top. It pretty much, it wasn't spread out. I mean, you have the same individuals on the other rankings.
Yeah, so a lot of them are going to coincide. So, I mean,
we need to see which individuals were on the other ones, and then we need to look at
who has
knowledge in CMR. Once they make those presentations to the board, then the board will decide which individuals and then how they want to go about it. If they want to bundle it or go to the pool. Or the other option is, you know, we could go out hard bid, or we could put or the other option. Huh?
But the ones we're going to select that we're going to interview are not going to be the ones we're going to give the award to yet, because we're going to give them another process and ask them. Now give us a cost analysis. Yeah, we're selecting all five of you to bid for this project, or all 10 of you to bid for it.
Exactly.
But we need to know who we want to bid on the cost analysis for whatever projects they said they want to bid on. That information.
Pretty much, we'll do the ranking of the board and say okay.
And it could be we want all 10 of them. We don't know. We just need to.
There's currently only three that checked all three boxes. So.
Yeah.
For all, well, actually, there's actually seven that checked all boxes.
Oh, but based on the ranking.
They made up one of the main ends of the ranking because of the difference in the way the evaluation committee did. We had a different evaluation committee for each one of the ones.
So, Matthew, will this change any of the summer timelines?
No, I think we're still in time. That's why we did this so early, so that we, like, all set up the interviews, and then we'll put the selection of the top five for February's board meeting, and then we'll still be right on time.
Okay.
Perfect. We still have the competition involved.
Will you be able to do it five for all, and then still have your separate bundles?
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to let all the work that the evaluations committees in it stand. And then we're going to form an evaluation committee to do as if keeping in mind they would be the one that would perform all.
Just the new rank for that.
Exactly.
Or the combination of all.
Out of the seven that did all.
And then we'll interview and then say this is the ranking. And we could agree and then move forward and change the second part of it.
Yeah. That's
right. Chair, I don't mind that we do that even before the February board meeting, maybe at the next special board meeting.
Yeah.
I think
that's
because
what I was thinking.
I don't want to get it delayed and then we say, well, it's not till March.
No, I don't want to wait to the next February board meeting. To have interviews, I think that has to be in a special board meeting. And right. So that was my understanding. And I had talked to him about pulling this so that way we could have it at a different meeting. But we have the direction now to move forward on that.
All right. Yeah. Okay. No, this is why we did it, just to get the conversation going.
No problem. So,
okay. I do feel we got some very good responses on this.
Yeah, you got a lot of
new
players.
Now take us to
item E, consider approval of Carl Daniel Architects' proposal for third party estimating. Ms. Matthews?
Yes, now that the earthwork package is on the table, and of course, the upcoming package for the entire pre-K through 8. One of the line items that was in Carl Daniel's original fee proposal was $20,000 worth of third-party estimating, which he contracts to a firm, I believe, is an Albuquerque. And so I'm just here to present to you all the options on the table. So as they move forward and...
Yeah, that.
Yes, the second page, you can see 1.1, 1.2.7. Should the owner select? Should select
on the same one? Are you looking at the CMR? Or is this
no. This is a new agenda. Owner elect? Should I acquire?
I don't have anything.
This page right here. It was the attachment.
Let me see if it's.
I don't think I got it in there. Did you?
Do you want to explain it?
Do you want me to read it to you? It's genuinely. Should the owner elect to require the architect to complete detailed cost estimating as described herein, the architect shall provide detailed cost estimating services as additional services. However, the fee for these additional services will not exceed $20,000. And so, at the full completion of their earthwork package, and at the full completion of the remainder of their package, if you wanted to, the architect firm, to do an independent cost estimate, you know, just to demonstrate that we had done our due diligence in acquiring a fair and reasonable price, that is one of the options that was there. And so I just presented that as an option because I feel that that's my job.
Is that one of the things Tassie had that we sent them away with, that they had to offer us?
Yeah, well,
I believe it was. Yes, the meeting was part of it.
Then the recommendation is to go with.
Sure, I think it's a quick thing that will demonstrate that we are.
As an individual, we have an action motion, right? So we have to.
Does our CMR feel that's the right course to take?
Well.
I'd have to read the clause because it sounds to me that they might charge you an additional $20,000.
Uh-huh, that's what I heard.
Yes, that is
not part of the agreement that you have with them already.
Oh, no, that's why it's an action item.
I think I understood it as $20,000 for the third-party estimating.
That's why we're presenting it, right?
You good?
Yeah, okay. I think it would be a waste of money.
Okay.
Because they haven't been involved there. The independent estimating company.
And that's sort of what you're
That's what I'm doing for you anyway. They're not going to guarantee you it. So.
Well, they're not, but I.
If you were going to get a credit for $20,000 from the architect for doing that, for not doing it, then I would say don't do it. You're not getting credit. They're going to charge you.
Over and above.
They're going to charge you additional funds.
Right.
You shouldn't say numbers.
Do you actually see this in other, Mr. Menegas, do you actually see this in other projects in school districts where they
at CMR, no one ever see it.
Not
I see it on hard bid.
Oh, on hard bid. Yeah. That's why?
That way the district has an idea of what the numbers should come in at.
So right.
How to pay the architect based on that number.
So the logic is you're going to finalize a contract for a large dollar amount. So they propose a number, and then you have another number, and it's higher or lower. Like, oh, okay, like we're within the range. Okay, yeah, we're within the range. Hey, Dina, hey, we checked it out, and the number was within range. We did our due diligence. And so basically that was the logic.
But that's why we have a CMR, correct?
That's the model. Was that a little psychic?
You know, our CMR isn't just going to get one, doesn't bring us one cost estimate. When they go out and do that, they get bids, or rather, they get estimates from different individuals for the same cost from different contractors for that particular job. And they present us with their recommendation because eventually they're going to guarantee it. And they're going to say, look, this guy did whatever is coming in, but we recommend this other guy because of it's the best, what is it, what am I, what's the
best
term?
Best value
for the district. So not necessarily the estimating issue. There's other things that are going into this, and our CMR is going to bring us two or three, depending on what those, either the bids are for, I mean, you're going to bid out a lot of that stuff, right?
Yeah,
you're going to bid all that stuff, and some of them were low. You'll even just get estimates, right, from different individuals.
I prefer not to.
We're going to have four or five estimates instead of. We're already going to get two or three from.
That's part of the process.
Yeah.
What's the rationale behind getting a third party through our architect?
It was mainly just that, as you come to this high-dollar agreement, that you would have some proof that you had, like, back-checked it in some way so that if we were audited or anything, you could say, hey, you know what, we did our due diligence, it was within this ballpark.
I guess there's that trust issue again, trusting that those are...
Oh, no, I trust it. Oscar has helped me.
No.
He's with me, like, he comes to see me all the time. It's not a trust issue. I am very... Yeah. Well, maybe not very. But, like, just... Cross all my T's and, you know, it's just a suggestion. I just put that on the
table. Going through the documents through the other architects, most of the documents are written in the traditional manner of what you call hard bidding. And so they may have language in there that doesn't apply to a CMR. This is a service that normally doesn't apply to a CMR. This is a service that if you were going to go out and hard bid it, you want to know what the approximate dollar value that is going to come in within 10%, so that the architect also is on the line. Because what happens is the architect would say, you got a $10 million budget, and he draws a
$15 million deal. So you get a third-party independent estimator that comes in and says, no, it looks like it's going to be around $10 million. That's the backup in a normal process, in a normal, or that type of delivery. But the every CMR that I've done, we've never used a third-party estimator. And I've done probably before. So are we okay with that?
A little bit.
I've done a few.
Okay.
I would say you put, I would say that.
Okay. We go towards our furniture since
well,
we have
yeah,
no interest.
There's a lot of money. It's definitely $20,000.
That would take us 10 exits from that.
You know what? We can use that for the reading room to bring in, make it a little bit nicer in the library.
We can bring the deck on.
Soundproof it.
Soundproof it.
For your
okay.
Stadium.
Yeah. So if there's stadium. There's no more discussion, can we put on the next agenda?
Item F, consider approval of suspension of paragraph 5 of CW Local, naming of a school, other district facility, or function area. Ms. Matthews.
Yes, basically the backup to that, you can see, I can read to you, once a school is named and a principal is assigned, the principal shall establish a committee to recommend a school mascot and colors. This committee shall submit its recommendation to the superintendent for final approval. So we would like to suspend this so that the architect can move forward with color selections and also to give the board the opportunity to establish the colors in the mascot.
Can we get some community input within that campus, like that area, maybe?
I think the spirit behind this was we wanted to suspend it and then develop something to maybe replace it. It wasn't to, you know, just to suspend it at this point, to move forward with our design.
Yeah. Ms. Burton?
When I was reviewing this this policy, I think I'm correct in looking at this. What we're doing is we're not asking for necessarily the colors that you choose for the construction is still within here. What I believe the policy was reading, if I read it correctly, is the colors like once you become an entity. And that's exactly what Mr. Rodriguez is saying. You get together, so they're two and separate, they're two and distinct things. So as far as the committee and as far as the new school, and as far as standardizing the colors that you think for this school and any other other school that you might have, it's going to, you can absolutely get that standardization. What we're looking, that's one issue. The issue for the colors, at least for this policy, I believe, the more I read it was saying once you name a principal, then like Bill Childress became green and gold. I don't know where those colors. Now, when AMS was created, the board did vote on my colors. You know, I didn't pick orange and gray, okay? Excuse me, but you can't find it.
What was the color?
Orange.
Silver, oh, okay.
So I think we have two different issues. So I think, and like the mascot, you know, I think if what Mr. Rodriguez is saying, for the mascot, I do think, you know, it would be nice for the school to what he's asking for is input as far as for the mascot. But I believe what you're asking right now, tonight, is for the color standardization of colors that you can proceed to come up with a palette. Is that correct? And I think we can do that.
What's the wording on that policy?
Oftentimes, though, they integrate the school colors into the building, so we would want to kind of move over. Once a school is named and a principal is assigned, the principal shall establish a committee to recommend a school mascot and colors. This committee shall submit its recommendation to the superintendent for approval.
See, so the school's already built. So
right,
it's already
so
built.
So
the colors are already
in. School colors, your mascot. There wouldn't really be a way to integrate it in.
To the colors, I think that's
we did a pretty good job. Is that AMS?
I think we ought to revisit this policy for this particular school so that we can, if possible, integrate some of the colors of the school. You know, and we let the students or the principal, you know, pick them. You know, who knows? That principal may not be around for a few years, or the student's only going to be around for 4 or 5 years. We can still get their input.
Absolutely.
We can still get their input. We know more or less which students are going to go in that area.
I would like to revisit the policy.
I mean, they're going to come from, you know, the northern boundaries of, I mean, the southern boundaries of our district. I mean, there's a way we can get input about still naming the colors in the mascot.
Yeah.
I think the board
can do that and soliciting input from the community. I think we ought to suspend this policy for now, proceed on getting colors after getting input and a mascot for this school.
Maybe we could try to get just some type of...
Gustavo cannot coordinate like some kind of community input in the next, you know, like month or so that like we can...
No, I think the concern I had was we're building schools. This isn't the last school we're going to build. And we already have 7 facilities. We have separate colors for each one. I'm talking tile work. And I think we talked about this. When we get to so many schools, we start to, you know, we need to standardize.
Right.
And I think at some point we need to standardize as a district and have the schools, hey, you have these many colors. Pick your colors. Pick your mascot. I totally get that. But I don't think that this policy reads that way.
You want some type of identity.
Oh, no. But of course, they're going to get to choose the mascot and the colors. Orange and
more on the middle schools. I agree with you on the elementary schools. The middle schools and high school need to have some type of identity.
Yeah, this is both. That's the other
word. We've already started standardizing. We sent Ms. Carrasco the pink colors for her office, and they're the pink colors for her
office. Mr. Venegas?
Sure. When I was at Cannondale Middle School, I pulled off a register to see how we could... salvage it instead of replacing it with a custom heel. So today I happen to be putting it back in place. It came out very nice. And we painted it beige because when it came to us, it was beige. But I noticed the room next to it was green. Okay. So you would have some heating registers that are beige, some that are green. So I think the superintendent had the right idea. We're just trying to standardize paint colors, I'd say. Mm-hmm. And the bulk of the products. So when you want to touch up a wall, you're going to use
the same.
Cannondale white.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The Cannondale navy blue tile that you use all the time. Not your mascot colors, not that particular school colors. Just those type of colors. So,
yeah, we'll suspend it, try to get some input, and then move forward on.
Okay.
And then let's readdress, especially on the building. You know, I know when we were a smaller district, we tightened. Well, I mean, it's detailed, and I think what we need to look at is the growth of the district and how we want to address these policies. Because we had it specified to every little detail.
Okay.
No, I won't mention names.
Thank you very much.
Mr.
Carter. I move at this time that the board suspend paragraph 5 of CW Local, the naming of school, other district facility, or function areas, to suspend the policy requiring the board to direct the principal to initiate that process, and rather at this point suspend that policy of the board. And let the board take those particular issues for the new PK through 8 school, and then submit the policy to a future meeting of the policy committee to come up and work with a different policy that we can, and maybe even bring them to standardization of colors with respect to all the schools.
I think especially on the off colors, we need to standardize that, like a white or beige, whatever that has to be standardized.
So we'll
try to put some, the accent colors, try to make them in the right domain. Okay, I have a motion, do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Is there any more discussion? If not, can I pull the board, Tony?
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Oh, spoken. That we're pointing to.
Item G, discussion and possible action to approve communication to U.S. Department of Education regarding testing standards and processes. Mr. Blanco.
I move to approve. I'll second.
Do you want to read it real quick into
the... It's a good letter.
Steve, probably? No?
No.
Come on.
Steve. Oh, wrong.
Yes.
I think the last board meeting, the board with some suggestions from Mr. Pardo and the board members, Mr. Earl included, asked to consider drafting a letter that we would write to Arnie Duncan, the U.S. Secretary of Education, regarding certain federal accountability and state testing requirements. The letter that we have in draft form reads as follows. Dear Secretary Duncan, we are certain you are aware of the recent testing and student management issues facing El Paso, Texas, and similarly situated border communities. KMTU Independent School District is within the county of El Paso, Texas. The district, along with others in the region, borders the El Paso Independent School District. Recent events within EPISD have led to regular press coverage and review and scrutiny of that district by federal and state agencies. The central issue being reviewed by federal and state officials centers on the management and testing of students and, more specifically, foreign transfer students. This issue and the problems current accountability measures present for border communities like ours are not new or unique. Recently, these problems have become more difficult to manage than ever. Our communities are faced with a regular influx of students with a variety of learning challenges created by language barriers. We strive and do our best to educate all children within our community. Unfortunately, the current system of testing and accountability measures creates a situation where some individuals attempt to cheat or game the system. We believe this could be avoided if certain issues were better understood and directly addressed. For example, number one, it makes no sense for school districts along the U.S. border with Mexico to be forced to test a student in English when the student has been in the U.S. for less than 2 years and often less than 1 year. We believe the system provides waivers or alternate testing criteria should be studied and considered for certain student populations. Similarly, we believe school districts in border regions would benefit from the simple recognition that our student populations are not at all similar to other parts of the country. A one-size-fits-all testing and accountability framework simply does not work. Border school districts are significantly disadvantaged by the current system. Three, if border school districts are going to be forced to comply with testing and accountability measures that fail to account for obvious demographic differences, additional funding is necessary. We recognize this aspect of the issue is largely a state issue, but federal funds are also tied to performance-based testing outcomes. In this regard, our school districts are required to educate all children. It is quite nearly impossible to do so without adequate funding and recognition of the special needs some student populations present. As a board, we are mindful of our obligations to the KMTO community. When challenges arise, it is often a good time to embrace new solutions and create new opportunities. We want to work with the Department of Education to address the issues facing our community. We request that your office schedule a community-based workshop or other outreach effort that will allow communities like ours to be heard directly on this issue. Signed by the President of the Board of
Education. Real quick, I would also like to see our commissioner, state commissioner, and our congressman, as well as, I don't know if you all want to see our state reps as well.
Why not?
I would.
I think so.
Okay.
And then this is the other thing.
Mr. Chair, I would recommend that we send it to both congressmen in this region, and that would be
Pete and
both Beto and Pete.
And so the other issue that I would like to discuss, and we did have some discussion, Steve, on case law and what actually happens, and then what's a possible next step if we don't get any response from our, hopefully, should we send it to the president too?
I mean,
or just send it to individuals?
We could. I don't see why not. I mean, this is part of it. This was part of his platform. You know.
On the issue regarding the legal focus or potential legal options surrounding this. One of the issues we have potentially as an advantage is that the Equity Center and the other group already currently challenging the state funding system. Already have lawyers engaged and on board. I was talking to the law's department about it, and he suggested, and I agree, that the board consider providing this information and just the position. And I'm certain that those groups are aware of the situation that is facing the El Paso community, that that information we provided to them. We don't know what their litigation is. We would consider adding a new wrinkle to it like this, but it's certainly a starting point. The other idea would be to try to reach out to other similarly situated border communities, just like the Equity Center did, and start the process towards engaging or creating some type of funding mechanism to have somebody that specializes in that type of legal review look at this issue and make a determination on that. The Equity Center was funded by, gosh, I think back, close to 1,000 districts, each pitching in a certain amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's because it covers the whole state, but mm-hmm. I think even if you have a couple hundred that were willing to commit to that type of a plan or process, it would certainly be doable. I don't believe, unfortunately, it is doable for one single district to take on that challenge by itself. It's cost prohibitive, it's difficult to manage. You're better off standing
against it. And the other possible avenue is that I'm going to try to make some headway, maybe with MALDA or LULAC, to see if they're able to pick this up as well. So hopefully we get a response and we get some clarification to it and maybe some changes. And if not, then I think it's going on.
I clearly think, I agree, this issue is being addressed, but not from the concern that we have in the lawsuit that's ongoing right now. As a matter of fact, it was in the paper, and Lori brought us a clip of where an expert testified in front of Judge Dietz about that it takes no less than 4 years, okay, to get a student who comes in, foreign transfer student, to come in and try to assimilate the language and be able to be meaningfully tested so that we have some accountability. And I mean, that expert just testified, when was it, Lori? A couple weeks ago?
This was two weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, in front of Judge Dietz. But that lawsuit is not looking at the issue that we're...
Right, no, it's
that's
different.
A little
it's
different
focused
issue.
On state,
that's focusing on the funding problems and what it takes to what it's going to take to make sure that we educate these students and get them to acquire the language. This is a totally different deal. We're telling that we feel that this is a discrimination along the lines of the Lau versus Nichols, the Rodriguez case from California, that testing somebody, if you're required by the federal government, by the states are required by the federal government, provide education to kids who come in from out of another country with a different language, that they, you know, the feds say, you must educate them in that language. Well, the corollary to that is, if you test them in the English language too soon, what are you going to gain by that? I think that's the issue that is also along the same lines of the Rodriguez and the Lau case. And I think people have testified in these lawsuits, ever since the Edgewood case in San Antonio, the same exact thing. The same exact thing. But nobody's paying attention to that issue, that maybe these requirements need to be looked at differently. I just saw in the paper, EPISD, I think the Teachers Association, they had a meeting for the El Paso Independent School District workshop about...
This weekend.
This weekend. It was Friday and Saturday. I read it in the paper. We weren't invited, but that's okay. Nowhere in the reporting did I see on the solutions addressing this particular problem. None of it. I mean, I wasn't there, so I can't say that it came up, but at least in the reporting, none of that came up. None of it. Nobody ever thought about, say, well, maybe some of these issues would go away of people trying to cheat if we gave them an alternative way to test these kids, the right way. And nobody's looking at that as a solution.
It just, these are educators. This is the head of the Teachers Association. And probably other teachers and multiple, I don't know who attended. I bet some of our representatives were there. I know Ms. Marquez was there because she was mentioned in the paper. None of that was mentioned. None of it. I didn't hear a single word about this issue from either our legislators that attended, the experts of the teachers from the EPISD, or anybody else that was there. At least it was not reported. Now, I stand corrected because I did not attend, but I didn't hear it being reported.
I was in attendance on Saturday. Huh? I was in attendance on Saturday.
You know? It boggles me. It just dumbfounds me that part of the solution to this problem could be taken care of to avoid this issue with stress over accountability and these kids. Yeah, and if they take it within a year or 2 years, what accountability is that giving us? You want to plan your company around that? You know, you want to plan the issues with respect to our economy on that? I mean, we've had all this information. You know, you think that companies out in the real world act on that kind of information that's probably useless? Maybe some do. Those companies aren't going to be around for long, are they? You know, so why is the federal government, the state government, why should they be any different? We're nothing but large, huge public companies. And nobody is getting it. I am absolutely boggled that, you know, the Socorro superintendent, when the three big districts went up to tell our legislators, okay, that, you know, probably recommended that you don't test these kids until after their third year. Well, I don't think it should be a recommendation. Let's let the experts tell them. The experts tell them in the lawsuit and they're not listening. I mean, we've had that kind of testimony in the previous, I don't know how many lawsuits. It's just beyond me that, you know, and I don't know what it is, whether it's the feds or the state, or both, that are just, you know, I don't get it, but I think it's time that we lead the way in starting to do something about it. And if it takes recruiting other districts like ours that have an interest in this, then so be it. And I think the first place we ought to take it to is Far West Texas. Okay. I'm sure a lot of those districts will jump on board and we just keep going right down the border.
And everyone's both ways. You know, the Arizona's got the same problem. California's got
maybe this person that we're talking, Mr. Rodriguez, you mentioned about hiring a legislator, maybe that's right up the alley, but
and that's part of the,
you know maybe not legislative action, but not just legislative action, but maybe even other kind of action, kind of like a you know, like what the Equity Center does, but on a limited issue. I mean, it's just beyond me.
I think, Mr. Cornaro, so we'll send this letter off. Mr. President, also include the governor. Our local federal delegations, both Pete and Bevo, and then as well as our state delegations from Senator Rodriguez to Marisa Marquez, Mary Gonzalez, Joe Pickett, and Joe Moody, and Jose on the Senate side. Who else am I missing? So, and then the other thing, can we just give a copy to these other organizations to let them know we're looking at it and we would like them, like MALDA, LULAC,
sure.
MOSBA, TASB, and SBA, just send them all, you know, we're looking at this. And so hopefully, and then NSBA, there's a Hispanic caucus as well, just to let them know we're looking at it and hopefully it picks up some traction.
Mr. Chair, frankly, I think one of those issues that we need to maybe get MOSBA, that might be a vehicle for us to do it, LULAC and MALDA,
clearly they have the resources available if they vote on something like this, that they could take on a suit of this nature.
And the best thing for us to do is, depending on the response we get, then we'll look at what action we need to take further on.
Yeah.
You know, I talked to you last year, I went to a conference in Houston, and I spoke to the president of the school board from Laredo. He said, they're the border too, their problem could even be bigger than ours. He said that they had decided they were going to deal with this through language acquisition, through their total immersion. Their entire school district is immersion.
Is that Laredo United?
And so they're another district that has felt the heat. They felt the pressure, and they had to, you know, make a decision what locally they could do. We might ought to think and discuss, I don't know, today or tomorrow, but maybe as the months go by, the weeks go by, we ought to think and possibly discuss how could we, you know, waiting on the government to do anything could take a really long time. What we could do locally to possibly remedy this for ourselves while we're waiting on them to, you know, get a clue. And I think that it would be very advantageous to us if we would be proactive in thinking, okay, we know this is coming to us. We could do A, B, C, or D. Possibly task someone in the district with coming up with what would be best practices, what other border districts are doing, that we could look at and maybe come to some kind of a local decision. What can work here? Over and above telling, you know, all these entities that, yeah, you know, y'all don't have it, we have it. You need to help us, because you know that takes a lot.
Part of the discussion that was talked about on Saturday was, and I went into the educators' breakout session, because I wanted to see how the educators felt when looking at this. They had community, they had educators, and students, and then administrators. So I went into the educators. And so part of the discussion was, you know, the fact that immersion, you know, trying to find the easy way out is hurting our kids. And, you know, the 90-10 model compared to the optimal model, the dual language model. And how, what is it that we need to look at as, you know, as a school district, and that's something that we need to look at when looking at our goals, so that way we address those issues. But it's critical. Hopefully we'll get some feedback from the DOE. If not, you know, we'll have to look at other types of steps. So.
Excuse me. What I was going to ask. Suggest also too is also putting it on either at a school board, you know, a present, you know, for the school board and the administration to present at, you know, a National School Board Association conference. I think if we do something like that, and we could, I mean, it's a burning issue, and I think if you, and it's kind of grassroots, but if you get that, I think we could, you know, at least try to present to every, you know, we get a list of all the school board conferences and get the packet and present, you know, to present, give a presentation to them. And I think that would also be another avenue to explore.
I think it's critical that we look at NSBA.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
The other thing that I would look at, well, it's not on this.
Okay.
I want to do some more presentations.
Okay.
And I think our audit functions.
So I could look at, you know, some of the conferences that are coming up and see when the deadlines are for those to present, and maybe we could come up with a presentation outline or something that we could send.
Yeah.
I'd be glad to do that.
That's probably somewhere you're going to be closest to.
NSBA has every year, it's too late now.
A call for presentations.
But they have roundtable discussions instead of just presentations.
Absolutely.
To where, you know, maybe best practices come out.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Cornell?
I think we ought to do that, but I think we ought to start locally, guys. Go to the Far West, do a presentation.
Yeah. We meet
go to the TASB or the summer leadership, the ones in the state, or, and then we can think about heading towards doing the presentation at NSBA at a roundtable discussion.
Oh, Texas first, I agree.
I think we
I agree.
Focus on the border region close to us that we can initially solicit either help or get them on board to help us. You know.
I think Far West meets February 12th, so it's maybe a discussion.
I'll call in front.
That's the closest for us. So if we're all okay, can I get a motion?
We have a motion and a second.
And a second?
Yes.
And then we have those.
I'll make the additional CC changes to it.
Okay.
And work to round it out.
Okay. And you know what? The educational committee for the education committee on the
in the state.
The Senate.
Okay.
There's no one at the federal level. No. Okay. And that's it.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Item 8 is executive session, and the time is now 9:31 p.m. The meeting is to be closed under Texas Government Code, Section 551-071-072-074, for discussion with and to receive advice from legal counsel regarding internal audit, assigned audit tasks and status, discussion regarding acquisition of real estate, and status of appraisals, and discussion of certain personnel matters.